get started. Our lesson this morning is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 through 4, the biblical practice of church donations. The people Paul discipled in Corinth lived in a city that was known for its immorality, its alcoholism, and worldly pursuits. So the formidable influence of the city's culture on the Corinthian believers left Paul addressing aberrant beliefs and practices of an astonishing variety in his letters to them. However, in a vision Paul received from God as he ministered at Corinth in Acts 18:10, God told him, "I have many people in this city." So Paul was to keep on ministering regardless of the trials that he faced there. Since the early church utilized financial donations from the congregation in promoting the discipling ministry of the church, Paul gave directions on the biblical practice of church donations in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 1-4. So we view the passage for our insight, our application, and edification as follows. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into his word. Father, we're thankful for the privilege that you've given us to be able to meet together. We know that not every place in the world do Christians have this liberty, but we do. So we ask that we would take advantage of it to rely upon the Spirit of God to understand what he has written in the Word, what he's led holy men of God of old to write, that as he illumines the Word of God to us, we pay attention to it and then apply it, and that by the power of the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, I'll read the passage and then we'll look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come, or collections when I come. And when I come, whomsoever you shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality to Jerusalem. And if it be fitting that I go also, they shall go with me. Okay, the biblical practice of church donations. Several points here. First of all, biblical church donations should be made for materially needy believers who minister to others. This is in verse 1. The donations in 1 Corinthians 16, 1-4 were for needy Jerusalem believers who ministered to others. The Jerusalem saints were notoriously poor and in need of financial assistance. We know that from Romans chapter 15, verse 26. What in part may have occurred due to persecution in Acts 8, 1-3, along with famine in Israel in Acts 11, 27-30. The persecution, remember the persecution that broke out in Judea, in Jerusalem, that whole area, when Stephen was stoned to death, and people scattered. Of course, they took the gospel with them. But in those days, if you were persecuted, your children were not allowed to be in the synagogue school. They didn't get the education that they needed to get a decent job. You were cut off from business contacts. You couldn't do certain forms of business. It really is a hardship in those particular days. And there was also a famine, and the famine moved in different areas. Apparently, it was in Israel at this particular time, Acts 11, 27-30. That's when they took a collection there at the church up in Antioch of Syria to take it to the saints that were down in Jerusalem. Now, believers elsewhere wanted to aid these Jerusalem saints, for from them had sounded the gospel. In Romans 15, 27, the Christians in other parts of the Roman Empire who had been led to faith in Christ sensed they had a tremendous obligation to the Jews and the Jewish people down in Jerusalem who had sent the gospel their way so that they could have eternal life. And rightfully, they wanted to donate to help these saints out. And that sets up a very important principle. If you've been led to Christ by a certain party, or you've been heavily discipled or had been helped in your Christian life, there's often a sense of duty to see that that source from which you receive the gospel or a discipling is helped, and people generally want to give in that direction. That's very fitting, and that's what happened in this particular case. The same applies to ministers in the local church. A congregation owes its minister or ministers, depending upon how many they have, material remuneration for the ministry of the Word of God for the congregation's welfare. In 1 Corinthians 9, 9 to 14, there's a principle Paul draws from in the Old Testament. He says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treads out the grain. In those days, you would have an ox who was tied to a fulcrum. It would go around on a threshing floor, which normally was a great big stony area. And they would lay out the sheaves of grain around, and the ox would walk in such a way that he would thresh the grain kernels from the straw itself. And later they would take the straw, they would throw it up in the air, the wind would blow the straw away, and the kernels would be saved, and they would keep them. But there was a rule God had. It was a hardship on the ox. If the ox was treading out the grain, and he could see the grain, but he was muzzled so that he couldn't eat it. So God had a law. You do not put the muzzle on the ox when he's doing the threshing work. So the ox was free to eat whatever he wanted as long as he was threshing it out. And Paul applies this principle to those who administer the word in a church. Those who are administering the word in the church should have the liberty to partake of what they need and actually what they desire as the Lord leads. In my particular case, we're making ample monies. Both my wife and I are drawing full retirement in addition to what we're earning from the church. So, you know, we don't have any house. Our house is paid for, cars paid for. We don't have any outstanding debt, even credit cards. We pay them off each month, so there's no outstanding balance. So for just the two of us, it's ample. I think it's good for the church to keep the salary as it is. They add 3% because eventually someday, I'm 76 after all, someday you'll get another pastor and he'll be younger. He'll have a family. He'll also need a mortgage, probably, unless the church decides to build a park, parsonage or whatever. So there's a need for that. But our needs are taken care of, and I was asked by the board recently in preparation for the budget that they're planning to make for 2024 if I needed more. And I said, no. We're amply taken care of. The Lord's met our needs. So, you know, please don't worry about that. But that's the principle. Now, in addition, the local church should give to messengers like evangelists who travel about proclaiming the gospel. This is in 3 John verses 5 through 7. They had traveling evangelists who would go about, and they would go from church to church area. And the churches felt obliged to go ahead and help them on their way financially so that they could continue to preach the gospel. And they were going out into the hinterlands throughout the Roman Empire preaching the gospel. And that's grounds for helping evangelists if they came through. This also includes missionaries like the Apostle Paul. In Philippians 4, 10 to 18, Paul was in prison. So the churches felt obliged to help him out when he was in a prison so that he'd have warm enough clothes when he was there, that he'd have some food and some of the amenities of life. And the Roman, of course, guards would allow him to have some. And so they took care of him. And also missionaries like Paul were helped on their way. So missionaries and evangelists would be other groups of people to help. Also, this is 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 8 through 12. Paul directed that widows who had no family to support them, but who had reputably long ministered to other believers, were to be supported by the local church. We don't often do that today because what happens is widows normally receive money from Social Security. That's what's gone on. But ideally, the church should look out. If they don't have family, now if they have family, the family's supposed to take care of the widows. That would be nephews and sons and so forth who have come along. But if there's a widow who doesn't have any means, but she's had a lifelong ministry of serving the Lord in the church, ministering to the needs of saints, it is the obligation of the church, if they're credible people, to go ahead and see that they're supported. So it's interesting, the donations throughout the New Testament church are for needy believers, but needy believers who minister or who have a long record of ministering to other believers. Also, biblical donations should be made on a regular and a consistent basis, verse 2a. Since the people at Corinth earned their income every day, Paul directed them to save up part of each day's earnings for what they desired to donate each Sunday when they met together. Now, in today's world, many people are paid on a monthly basis, and some earn on a commission basis, and that's whenever they make a big sale, then there's this commission that comes in. They might not make a big sale for maybe 2 or 3 months, and all of a sudden a huge sale comes in, and then they have money on a commission basis. So it's fitting for one to give on a Sunday once a month or whenever a commission is earned in the fiscal year. Now, if you get a salary, let's say it's every 2 weeks, or you might get you might get paid every week. I don't know. Some people may get actually paid each day. I don't know. But the idea is when the money comes in to go ahead and lay it aside. Now, it's interesting that biblical church donations should be made in line with the donor's personal budgets of their own incomes. Paul directed that the donors collect the money they earned each weekday to keep it in a private fund, the words by him are included, at home, from which fund he makes distributions. Now, obviously, he can't give everything to the church, because he has to take care of his own needs. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10 indicates this, that when you sow the seed, when you're giving to like a church ministry or some other missionary, whatever, some ministry like that, God provides you remuneration so that you can take care of your own needs and that you have a little extra more so that you can continue to give again. So I always tell people, look, if you're having trouble making the electric payments or house payments and everything, the last thing you should be doing is giving to us instead of making those payments. You have responsibilities at home. Yeah, and I tell people that. Don't go bankrupt just by loading out and giving everything to the church and then you're not paying your bills at home. Take care of your home. Because if you don't take care of your home, you're not going to be able to donate to the church in the long run anyway. So I'm always concerned as a pastor that people make sure they budget their money, that they take care of their own needs. It's very, very important. And then as the Lord prospers, and of course in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10, as a person gives, then the Lord gives him actually a little more than what he had before. So the goal is in the long run, the person can actually increase his giving, but not at the cost of his home, but in commensurate with it. So donors need to, this indicates that a fund would obviously involve budgeting one's entire income, for the donor would still have to use some of his income to pay housing, food, clothing, and health costs that he incurred. In the first church that we pastored, our total income, gross income, was $8,000. I could not afford to put tires on my car, so we had to drive by faith. But eventually, they raised it up to about $12,000. This is in Nebraska when we were there. Went into another church, it became $18,000. We came to Nepauga, we started at $22,000 here. This is back in 1982, and the Lord has been providing ever since. But we learned how to budget very, very carefully. In fact, the original budget that we had, the way we laid out the budget, is the same today. It's just that we've added a little thing, couple things, and taken some things away. But it's very, very important to do this. Jesus was very frugal. Remember after he conducted the feeding of the 5,000, he told the people to go ahead and collect what was left over. And I think that's interesting. He could have provided just enough food so that the people had just enough to eat and there would be nothing left over, but he didn't. He provided enough so that there were 12 baskets left over, one for each of the disciples. But he wanted them, he says, go and pick up the pieces that are left, that nothing be wasted. Now that's the Lord. So when God provides, he doesn't want us to waste anything. He wants us to show some thrift. Biblical church donations should be made in line with how God prospers each donor, 1 Corinthians 16:2, as God has prospered him. I imagine if we passed around a sheet of paper and everyone, without writing his name on it, were to write down what his income is, we would all have different figures, okay? No one, I don't know if I've ever met two families that make the same amount of money. Some people make more, some people make less. And that should be reflected in how we give, as God has prospered us. Now, some people who make $1 million a year, okay, their donation should be a lot more than someone who's making $50,000, okay? And one who's making $75,000 would make more than what, would be able to donate more than who's making $50,000, so to speak. So we have to keep in mind that we're supposed to give as God prospers. And the choice, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, the choice is in the donor. The donor decides what he wants to give. Now, the Bible does say God is not mocked. whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. So God is aware of what we can give and what we do give. But we should never pressure anybody. The board and I do not know who in the church gives what, okay? The ones who know are the treasurer, the assistant treasurer, and the two auditors, and they're elected every year by the congregation. But we don't know. I don't know who in the church gives what. I know what I give. I don't even know what the board members give, okay, or if. And it's not my concern. I don't want the amount of money that people donate to the church affecting my relationships with people or my ministry as a pastor. And the board feels the same way. So there's real privacy in regards to this. And you need to give as God prospers. And that's between you and the Lord. E, biblical church donations should be made without pressure from the leaders on donors. Paul did not want collections to occur when he came to get the money to deliver it to the Jerusalem saints. He thus wanted no last-minute collections lest people give grudgingly, 2 Corinthians 9:5, as would be true if it were wrung out by emotional appeals or personal pressure with Paul's presence. I heard one situation one time where the minister, when new people came to the church and they decided they wanted to join the church, they had to submit the last 2 years of the 1040 forms so he could figure out what they were giving. Then he would send them a bill as to what he expected them to pay monthly. That's terrible. That's abusive. There's no way that that should occur. That giving is between the donor and the God, period. What the board and the pastor do when the monies are collected, there's a sum there. And we figure out, okay, this is how we're supposed to budget. And we set our budget based upon the reports that we receive from the treasurer and the assistant treasurer and whatnot, the auditors, as to what the general giving of the church collectively is so that we know how to plan. And that's it. But we don't know. And now, one time the treasurer gave us a list of the areas where people give. People giving in such and such, let's say, $7,000 to $8,000 a year, there were X number of people. People who were giving 8 to 15, that was another group of people. So we could figure out where the bulk of the people were in the giving, because we didn't want to set a budget that was going to be a hardship on the church if just a few big donors left, you know, or went somewhere else. So, but we didn't know who the donors were. We just, that was the report that was given. And so it's very, very important to protect the privacy of the donors. And we do not want to pressure. If you get any pressure from anybody about giving, please see me. I'll try to squelch it immediately, because that's not our business. And then biblical church donations, once collected, should be handled by multiple parties whom the donors trust. Paul submitted to the will of the donors on who should handle the collections made by the donors. And he offered to be one of those responsible to handle the money if the donors desired. Now, this is an apostle. He has the authority to write scripture. He also has the authority of life and death authority over the people. That's what the apostles had. But Paul says, I'm going to depend upon you, who you trust, who you want to handle. And if you want me to handle, I'll join him too. If not, that's fine. So the words whomsoever is whos and them, tutus, are plurals in the Greek text. So Paul implied a need for multiple handlers of the collection of donations in order to provide the credibility of checks and balances in the handling of the collected monies. We have a treasurer and an assistant treasurer. We have two auditors. There's four people. Okay? They oversee. Now, the two auditors will check at the end of the year. They'll check together. They'll check on the income and the outflow, and just check on the work of both the treasurer and the assistant treasurer. We have four people. And what's interesting, these are people that are selected by the congregation because they have to be elected every year by the church. And I believe that's fitting before the Lord. But we have to be careful that it's handled by multiple parties whom the donors decide, whom the donors trust. So the lesson is biblical church donations should be made for materially needy believers who minister on a regular basis and a consistent basis, in line with the donors' budgets of their own incomes, in line with how God prospers them, without pressure from religious leaders. And the collected donations should be handled by multiple parties who meet the approval of the donors as to their character and competence in getting the collections to the intended recipients. So may we adhere to the biblical practice of donations, in the local church. Okay, we'll open it up for feedback or questions that you have. It could be on this subject. It doesn't have to be. If there's something else that has come up and you'd like to address it, we'll do our best to answer it from Scripture.